It is one thing to hear the prophecies about Christ's death and resurrection from human prophets all through the Old Testament, but it is entirely something else to hear Jesus declare these same prophecies himself. Let's listen in as the greatest prophet speaks about his own death and resurrection here on Foreshadows Report. Welcome to Foreshadows Report. This is Steve Miller. We're now in Easter season, and one of the greatest blessings we have as Christians is to celebrate Christ as a risen Savior. Because He is risen from the dead, we who are Christians have the promise that we will rise from the dead too. In this episode, we're going to look at Jesus not only as Savior and Lord, but also as the greatest prophet. All the prophets who preceded him were human, but in Jesus we have God himself in human flesh. This makes him the ultimate prophet, and there is something very special about hearing him proclaim that he is the Lamb who has come to take away the sins of the world. All through the Old Testament, we read prophecy after prophecy about a coming Savior who would die as a sacrifice for our sins, rise again from the dead, and reign as King over all the earth. Through a long line of prophets, God revealed more and more details about this future Messiah. The first prophecy appears in Genesis 3:15. Immediately after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God declared, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We are not given specific details at this point, but the meaning here is that Satan would bruise Christ's heel at the cross, yet Christ will bruise Satan's head in the resurrection. This prophecy tells us that Christ would secure a forever victory that would lead to Satan's forever defeat. As time goes on, more information is given about this Savior. Genesis 12 reveals he would come through the nation of Israel and bless the world. Genesis 49 says he would be a king and descend from the tribe of Judah. If we fast forward to the book of Isaiah, we read some surprisingly specific detail about the crucifixion 700 years before it happened. In chapter 53, the prophet Isaiah said that this Savior would be pierced for our transgression, and he would be crushed for our iniquities. We are told he would bear the sins of many and make intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah also spoke about what would happen after the resurrection. In Isaiah chapter 9, he said there would come a day when this Messiah will have the government on his shoulder. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and we're told that of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. These are just a handful of the hundreds of Old Testament prophecies that pointed to Christ's first and second coming. And these prophecies were revealed over the course of many centuries. But then something new happened when Jesus begins his earthly ministry. Up to this time, all the prophets God spoke through were human sinners. They were imperfect messengers who spoke for a perfect God. They did not fully understand how God's plan of salvation would unfold. They simply spoke what God revealed to them. They too were afflicted by this plague called sin. While they were faithful vessels who spoke for God, they were just as much a part of fallen humanity as we are. But with Jesus, we have the arrival of a very different kind of prophet. Here we have God himself in human flesh. Because he knows all things, and because he is all-powerful, he is not only able to declare what will happen in the future, he is able to fulfill all those future events. This is why we can call Jesus the greatest prophet. No longer are we hearing prophecies about the crucifixion and resurrection from human prophets, at last we are hearing from the divine prophet himself. The one whom all the human prophets pointed to now is here. And when Jesus prophesied about his own death and resurrection, these prophecies take on an even greater significance. Jesus was able to say, "I am the one the prophets spoke of. I am going to fulfill all the promises God gave through them." This sets Jesus apart from all the other prophets. All through the centuries, he has been the focal point of all Old Testament prophecy. And now that he is here on earth, he is able to say, "I am the one who will die on the cross, and I will rise again." During his earthly ministry, Jesus spoke a number of times about his crucifixion and resurrection, and one of the more significant prophecies appears in Matthew chapter 16. Let's read what he says to the disciples and learn why this prophecy is so special. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." In this verse, there are several key words and phrases that are rich with meaning. The verse opens with the words, "from that time." This phrase indicates Jesus has reached an important turning point in his ministry. Matthew 16:21 marks a key transition. Jesus is about 6 to 9 months away from the crucifixion, and he wants to prepare the disciples for what is to come. He wants to alert them to the fact he will soon suffer and be killed. Now, before this point, Jesus has given subtle references to his death. In Matthew 12:40, he said, "Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And in John 2:19, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In these ways, Jesus gave small glimpses of what was to come. But in Matthew 16:21, we come to Jesus' first major prophecy about his death and resurrection. This is the first time he has gone into such great detail about what will happen. In fact, he is so clear that in the very next verse, we see Peter has a violent reaction to Jesus' words. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. He said, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Peter's reaction tells us the disciples did not yet fully understand Jesus' purpose for coming to earth. They hadn't realized that death on a cross would come first and that Christ's rule as Messiah would come later. This misunderstanding persisted all the way up to Jesus' final week on earth. How do we know this? Let's back up a bit for some context. In Matthew 21, we read that when Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, large crowds gathered and cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The word Hosanna means "save now." But the people weren't crying out for spiritual salvation. They wanted their nation to be saved from the oppression of the Roman Empire. We know this because at the same time they cried out, "Hosanna," they called Jesus the Son of David. They recognized that Jesus was a descendant of King David. The phrase "the Son of David" is a messianic title. They were acknowledging Jesus was a king, and they were expecting that he had come to conquer Rome and set up his own kingdom. They were expecting physical deliverance, not spiritual deliverance. The fact the crowd acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah got the disciples excited. They thought this must be a sign that Jesus would soon set up his kingdom on earth. That's why a couple days later, some of the disciples privately asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming?" They were expecting that Christ would set up his kingdom any time now. The disciples still didn't get it, even the night before the crucifixion, when they were in the upper room celebrating Passover with Jesus. they got into an argument about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. They were ready for Jesus to conquer the Romans and set Israel free right now, and they were fighting over who would get the most important role in Christ's kingdom. They didn't realize that Christ would bear a cross before he would bear a crown. This helps to show why Jesus' prophecy in Matthew 16:21 is so important. He knew the disciples didn't fully understand God's plan. He knew they didn't realize the crucifixion would come first. That's why he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now let's look at the next key phrase in Matthew 16:21. Jesus said he must do this. His suffering, death, and resurrection were absolutely necessary. Many prophecies in the Old Testament had declared that God's plan of salvation required the Messiah to suffer and die. The cross could not be avoided, and Jesus was willing to face the cross head on. Jesus then told the disciples that he would suffer many things. The chief priests and elders would arrest him. They would hold mock trials with false witnesses. These witnesses would bring false accusations against Jesus. Then the chief priest would hand him over to the Roman authorities to be beaten. In this way, Israel's rejection of Christ would become official. Next, Jesus said he would be killed. This surely had to have confused the disciples. Why did their Lord need to die? Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin had to be paid for. Because God is just, sin had to be dealt with. It couldn't be ignored and swept under the rug. And finally, Jesus said he would be raised. By conquering death, he would make resurrection possible for all believers as well. Because he conquered death, we can too. It was God's will for Jesus to die and rise again on our behalf. Only then could prophecies be fulfilled and salvation become possible. That's why Jesus had to go to Jerusalem, endure abuse, and die. There was no other alternative. Yet for Jesus, this was not a mission of forced compliance. He gave his life willingly. It wasn't taken from him. In John 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. So great was his love for us, that he was pleased to do God's will. So in Matthew 16:21, Jesus, who is the ultimate prophet, lays everything out very clearly. He is specific. He says he will suffer, he will be killed, and he will rise again. From here onward, Jesus would repeat these prophecies again, and it wasn't until after his resurrection that the disciples finally understood this was how God planned it all. In Luke 24, we read about Jesus' first appearance to all the disciples after his resurrection. Verse 37 tells us that when Jesus showed up, the disciples were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. At first, they didn't realize this was the risen Jesus. He told them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it is I, myself. Then in verses 44 through 48, Jesus, who again is the ultimate prophet, says this, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Jesus tells the disciples that he is the fulfillment of all the prophecies from the law and the prophets and the Psalms. That's another way of saying, I have fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecy in which God promised he would send a Savior who would redeem you from your sin. And he opened their minds to understand that it was necessary for him to die on the cross and that he would rise again from the dead, all for the purpose of making it possible for sin to be forgiven. And he concludes by telling them, you are witnesses of these things. You saw it all. Jesus, the greatest prophet, fulfilled the greatest prophecies in the Old Testament. These prophecies promised a Savior who would pay the penalty for sin and rise again, making it possible for mankind to come back to God. It is because he fulfilled these prophecies that we are able to say, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be grateful for. Jesus carried out God's plan to completion. He went to the cross and paid for our sin. And because he is risen, we can know freedom from sin. We can know eternal life and live in God's presence. As 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Foreshadows Report. How exciting it is to see the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, especially the prophecies that have to do with our salvation. Foreshadows Report is a weekly podcast, and there's a way to stay in touch on a daily basis as well. Every day on Telegram Messenger channel, I post news from around the world, and on the weekend, I share quotes from great Christian books and from the Bible itself. If you aren't receiving those posts, I invite you to sign up for them now. There are a couple ways to do that. One, you can go to Telegram Messenger channel and subscribe to Foreshadows Report. The other option is to go to my website, stevemillerresources.com. And when you scroll to the bottom of the home page, you'll find a link for subscribing to my daily post on Telegram. May your celebration of Easter be filled with blessings, and thank you again for joining me. And I want to express a special thanks to Harvest House Publishers for supporting this podcast.